Man Benham for Thanks all for your business day. And legal needs.
Welcome to Manx Radio. This is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man plus Manx Sport. But let's get things underway with the headlines from Christian Jones. Faster, my Christian.
58 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of active cases to 641. Six people who have the virus are in Nobles Hospital, but none of them are in intensive care. Former Chief Minister Tony Brown has hit out at the government for going back on promises made at Tynwald's to complete the horse tram renovations. The retired minister says Isle of Man residents deserve to know when the horse tram would be completed, and the government should not go back on its plan. A senior clinician accusing the Department of Health and Social Care of unfair dismissal has alleged her transfer to Manx Care was blocked because she's a whistleblower. However, the DSHC's legal team claimed if the tribunal finds she was dismissed, it would be due to her performance and capability rather than because she's a whistleblower. Turning out international news, the Transport Secretary's confirmed fully vaccinated people travelling to the UK won't have to take a post-travel COVID test. The rule change kicks in from 4 a.m. on the 11th of February. Boris Johnson insists he's taking allegations from a Conservative MP that her Muslim faith played a role in her being sacked as a junior minister extremely seriously. The PM's ordered a Cabinet Office investigation into Nusrat Ghani's claims. And Lord Agnew has resigned from government because of how it handled fraudulent COVID business loans. He denies it's because of the Downing Street party investigation. Those are your update news headlines next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Remaining dry and cloudy this evening and overnight with patchy hill fog, light winds and a minimum temperature of 4 degrees Celsius. Another cloudy and benign day tomorrow, generally dry with occasional hill fog and a light west or southwest breeze. Top temperatures around 7 or 8 degrees Celsius. Cloudy again on Wednesday as the southwest wind strengthens, then some outbreaks of rain affecting the island later in the day. Sunset today was at 4:43. Sunrise tomorrow is at 8:17.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's Update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
And here with the latest COVID-19 stats, it's Christian Jones.
The total number of active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man has fallen to 641. The latest figures released by the government show only one person has been identified to have the virus following a positive PCR test, while the remaining 57 have reported positive lateral flow tests. A combined 58 new infections were recorded yesterday. In total, there are 82 active cases as a result of a PCR test and 559 active cases coming from LFTs. Six people are currently in Nobles Hospital, but none of them are in intensive care. From tomorrow, walk-in clinics will be available at various locations across the island. Ramsay's District Cottage Hospital will begin administering vaccinations from 1 in the afternoon.
A senior clinician accusing the Department of Health and Social Care of unfair dismissal has alleged her transfer to Manx Care was blocked because she's a whistleblower. Dr. Rosalind Ranson's three-week employment and equality tribunal against the DHSC got underway this morning. Sean Cowper reports.
Dr. Ranson's legal team alleged she was dismissed from her role as medical director in February last year after her responsibilities were moved to Manx Care. It's claimed she suffered a number of detriments because she's a whistleblower, having questioned the department's approach to the coronavirus pandemic. When giving evidence this morning, Dr. Ranson told the panel additional work demands were put on her as a result of being a whistleblower. She also claimed then-DHSC CEO Catherine Magson blocked her from emailing politicians, telling the panel she was controlling everything in terms of communication. The department insists Dr. Ranson hasn't been dismissed and that it was always intended her role would be temporary, something that's disputed by her legal team. The DHSC's legal team also claimed that if the tribunal finds she was dismissed, it would be due to her performance and capability rather than because she's a whistleblower. The tribunal heard Dr. Ranson was in line to join the new healthcare board as its medical director, but Ms. Magson emailed Manx Care's chief executive and chairman to tell them Dr. Ranson wasn't up to the job. The proceedings are scheduled to continue until the 11th of February.
Government will not be able to sustain the cost of lateral flow tests forever, according to the Health Minister. Almost £6 million has been spent on the home testing kits for COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. Laurie Hooper says a new procurement process needs to be implemented to ensure security of supply.
It's not really going to be sustainable to bear that extra cost, I think, forever. So the question then becomes, well, what are we going to do in terms of our isolation requirements, in terms of some of the other rules and restrictions? And if we do make changes to those, how does our testing strategy respond to make sure that we can make sure people have got all the information they need in order to follow the rule effectively and safely? And that may very well involve a continuation of lateral flow testing in the current form. It may involve a reduced level of testing. We don't know at this stage, but I think to try and present this in terms of, well, can we afford this? I think my position would be in terms of our testing and isolation and COVID strategy, I don't think we can afford not to do some of these things.
And just a question from a listener that we had in about LFTs. They've asked why we're not buying British-made LFT tests. Is there an answer to that?
I don't think there is, if I'm honest. So when the pandemic started, obviously there were lots of issues in the UK in terms of the NHS supply chain, not just for tests, but PPE as well, if you remember back then. And our staff inside DHSC and Manx Care have basically gone and found as much supply as they could from anywhere they could find it, is the reality. And some of that has inevitably resulted in sourcing kits from places outside the UK. That's going to happen. The key thing for us, I think, as I said in Timwell the other day, is maintaining security of supply, making sure that we do have the tests that we need, and making sure that that supply isn't interrupted. We're going through a lot of them at the moment, and the worst thing will be for us to run out at any point. And there were reports of that in the UK, some areas finding difficulty to actually access these tests. Not a position we want to be in. But in terms of putting this on a more regular footing going forwards, the department is looking at setting up a procurement framework, which is what I told Timwell the other day, to make sure that we can buy these things from a wider range of suppliers, shall we say, that are from a properly procured supplier list, rather than being reliant on a small number of suppliers as we currently are.
A chief sector marshal's been removed from his role as an official at the TT following critical comments he'd made on social media. Race organisers say the unnamed individual's position was untenable when he declined to withdraw a statement that he'd posted online. Tessa Hawley has more.
The TT Marshals Association has confirmed it held an emergency board meeting where the unanimous decision to have him removed was reached. That followed an original recommendation by ACU Events Limited. In a statement released today, the group said he'd already been in dispute with the race organisation about new safety management system which comes into effect at this year's event. This, the group said, was considered unacceptable for any individual to undermine such a critical initiative. The TT Marshals Association and ACU Events Limited, along with the Isle of Man government, have thanked the thousands of volunteers who give up their time to ensure motorsport events take place on the island. However, the statement adds, any official, particularly one who accepts a senior position within the race organisation, is required to operate in line with protocols and the prestige of the event and to adhere to the ACU National Sporting Code with regard to officiating on the TT Mountain Course.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree is due to arrive into Douglas at 5:45, with the return sailing to Heysham set to depart 2 hours later at 7:45.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Festoon lightings to be installed on Douglas South Quay. The decision follows the popularity of the town's Christmas lights display. Local Democracy reporter Sarah Handy has this.
The Council's Environmental Committee agreed festoon lighting on the North Quay had added to the nighttime atmosphere of the area and moved to seek funding from the General Revenue Reserve to extend the display to the South Quay as part of an ongoing effort to enhance the area. Although the initiative will make use of festoon lighting formally installed on Douglas Promenade, additional costs will be incurred. New lamps, lamp holders, globes, control boxes and components, catenary wire and brackets are required, bringing the current budget to £22,444, a figure approved by the Executive Committee at this month's sitting. Councillor Falk Horning is pleased the initiative can now move forward.
So the council is going to install the festoon lighting along South Quay. It is the festoon lighting that was originally used along the promenade, but with some updated light bulbs. So they are going to be LED light bulbs. And we are going to invest quite a bit of money, actually, to update the provisions there, to make it more energy efficient, to improve their longevity and so on. But absolutely, it is a very well thought after item. And we really hope that the whole of South Quay is going to look more attractive, hopefully spur a little bit of investment in the area. Many of the buildings there could use some additional investment, and there is already some building work developing there, which is really fantastic to see.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Advance Energy PLC shares tumbled after it announced today that its Buffalo 10 well in Timor-Leste had only found residual oil. The Isle of Man-based upstream oil and gas firm said the well will be plugged and abandoned and the rig will be demobilised. Advance Energy owns a 51% interest in the project. Its share price sunk by 58% to 0.24 pence in London earlier. In 2022, the share price has fallen by 94%. High energy prices are already causing problems for households in the UK and across Europe, but geopolitical tensions threaten to make matters even worse. With an estimated 100,000 Russian troops massed on the border with Ukraine, there are fears Vladimir Putin is poised to order an invasion. Surging gas prices have already caused a number of UK energy suppliers to go bust, and supply shortages are the last thing anyone needs. Banknote printer De La Rue has warned supply chain issues triggered by the pandemic and rising energy costs will hit its profits. The company, which prints banknotes for the Bank of England, said it faced higher costs of raw materials and microchips, primarily due to COVID. De La Rue said COVID variants had also resulted in higher staff absences. It added annual profits were now set to be between £36 million and £40 million, rather than about £45 million as first estimated. The warning sent the London-listed companies down by 30%.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Boeing's committed $450 million US in an existing joint venture focusing on developing self-flying air taxis in the latest sign of investor appetite for the nascent industry that's seen dozens of startups attract billions of dollars over the past year. The US plane maker said it would invest the funds in California-based Wisk Aero. Wisk differs from most of the electric air taxi companies in that it focuses on autonomous flight. The company's not provided an in-service date, but said its autonomous passenger-carrying vehicle will be the first to be certified in the US. Investors last year poured more than $7 billion US into companies focused on all types of future solutions for air mobility, more than doubling the funding of the previous 10 years in the sector. UK and European stocks tumbled as investors braced themselves for the next meeting of the US Federal Reserve this coming week and watched for developments in Ukraine as tensions with Russia grew. US stocks renewed declines as investors looked ahead to a busy week of corporate earnings results, economic data and a Federal Reserve monetary policy setting meeting after an already volatile stretch of trading. Oil prices fell, hit by a stronger dollar and investor concerns over the possibility of quicker than expected increases to interest rates by the US Federal Reserve. Gold prices steadied as tensions over Ukraine buoyed its safe haven allure. So on to the markets. At the close, the FTSE 100, 7.297. That's down 2.63%. The DAX at 15,048 is down 3.65%. The Dow Jones, 33,589, down 1.96%. The NASDAQ, 13,368. That's down 2.96%. The exchange rates, the pound against the dollar, 1.344, and against the euro, 1.188. Gold is at $1,833, that's down 0.05%, with Brent at $85.2, down 2.56%.
Dad! Dad!
Hello, son. How's things?
Great. I've been taking your advice.
That's a first.
It's true. I've started investing monthly with Shearwater ESG.
Good for you. But what's ESG?
It's a new option that lets me invest in what I care about, like our planet and sustainability. So I'm not just improving my future, but my kids too.
Maybe I should take your advice.
Make a difference with Shearwater ESG from Ramsay Crookall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
In fact, it's Dave Moore all this week. Different revised plans for a new junction at Balfane are on display in the south of the island. Proposals for traffic lights have been scrapped, with a roundabout now drawn up instead. The new design can be seen at Maloo Commissioner's Office until Wednesday, as Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall explains.
It's another big job to be done down south. They've had issues with one roundabout down there, so hopefully we'll get this one into the public domain a lot earlier. We're not looking to do this yet, but certainly in the foreseeable future. But we obviously need to get everybody on board with this and give them their time to get their views across, whether it be the local authorities or just anybody who lives in that area or who is affected by it by driving through it, basically.
Previous version of the plans did go on display. I think it was towards the end of last year, possibly summerish actually last year. They weren't particularly well met by the public. What changes have there been since then?
Yeah, originally they were going to do traffic lights, but things have changed, and a very generous landowner down there has now agreed to let the department have some of the land down there, which has allowed us to have the roundabout down there instead of traffic lights, which we all think will work, hopefully, much better for us rather than lights. But we'll go to consultation and see what people say.
So what is the timeline for this junction?
I think we're looking in the 23-24 year, so probably to the end of that year, I would think, where we are at the moment and having to go out to consultation and things and working with everybody else and all the other schemes that are going on.
You mentioned having the local authorities on board. Have they been consulted with in the run-up to putting these designs together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're fairly happy with what we've got now. But again, we'll be talking to them to make sure they're happy, and the local MHKs of the whole area.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
First am I, Lewis Foster.
Fast am I. The draw for the GH Corlett Woods Cup first round was made at the weekend, contested purely between second division clubs, the standout ties between promotion rivals Onchan and Maloo. The winners of Castletown and St John's, which takes place next Saturday, will travel to Douglas Athletic. In the other ties, Douglas and District were drawn at home to Braddon, while Governors Athletic host Foxdale. On to women's football, and next Sunday's Canada Life Floodlit Cup final will be contested between Corinthians and Peel. They both won yesterday's semi-finals. The Sarah Wignall hat-trick helped Peel to win 4-1 over Douglas Royal, while Corinthians saw off the challenge of Onchan. In netball, and Simcox Red Eagles go marching on in the Premier Division. They beat Ballasalla Avalanches 40-15 yesterday to maintain their 100% record at the top of the standings. They have a one-point lead over Ballasalla Blizzards, who defeated Manx Gems Rubies 47-21. In the Championship, Thompson Travel 2 moved to within 3 points of league leaders at Le Groupe Panthers as they narrowly beat Route 1 Turbos 35-31. Castletown Celts continue to hold the number one spot in Division 1, courtesy of a 42-20 victory over Ballasalla Deltas. In Division 2, Route 1 Vault carried on their winning run, seeing off Thompson Travel 3 21-9 to maintain their two-point advantage at the top of the table. The launch event for the Sporting Club Manx Young Games is held this evening at 6 o'clock at the NSC's Aqua Cafe. This year's event gets underway on May 7th and will cover 14 sports. And finally, there's a motocross practice event at Turkeylands MX at Balfane Ballasalla next Saturday. All classes are catered for from beginners upwards, and there is an entry fee. It begins at 9:30.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Just one departure from Ronaldsway this evening, and that's showing us on time, the 6:10 to Liverpool. In terms of arrivals, Manchester landed around 6:25, with Liverpool showing at 8:10. Onto the road, starting in Douglas, and Empire Terrace and the bottom end of Palace Road remain closed. Harcroft Road is closed at the junction with Bluffton Manor Hill. Up in Laxey, the bottom end of Minorca Hill is closed between Glen Road and Lower Cronk Orry. Out at Greba and lights in place close to the Highlander St Trinians. Continuing west, and the Canet Road is closed for resurfacing out in St John's. Heading northwest, there are lights on the main road at the Ballera Junction at Kirkmichael. Down south now, and the shoulder road between the Roundtable and Snuff the Wind mines is closed, while in Ballasalla, traffic moving freely at the moment, but from 9:15 tomorrow until 3 in the afternoon, temporary lights in place on Station Road, close to the Whitestone.
Massimo Tyres. Budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at...
Former Chief Minister Tony Brown's hitting out at the government for going back on promises made at Tynwald to complete the horse tram renovations. The retired minister says residents deserve to know when the whole track will be completed.
The overall problems we can all sympathise with, but government still has to go on. And critically, it's important, especially at this time, for government to be investing in our tourism sector and other sectors in the Isle of Man. And when they're saying they're rejuvenating the promenade, and they've spent over £26 million to do it, to leave out a small amount, which actually impacts dramatically on the uniqueness of Douglas Promenade by reducing the length of the tramway system, the horse tram system, is just a lack of vision, a lack of understanding what it's all about.
What's at the heart of the problem? What's stopping it from going ahead? Why aren't they giving people a date?
It's lack of political will, simple as that. I don't know if the minister's getting support from his colleagues in the Council of Ministers. I suspect he isn't, and Treasury are no doubt expressing concern about the money. But the honest answer is they promised to reinstate the horse tram system as it was taken out, the length of it, and they've reneged on that, and I think it's unreasonable. And I do think it really is unwarranted news, and I think it's important. It's no use the minister just saying, you know, it'll not be brought forward for some time. I think the people of the Isle of Man deserve to know when they intend to do it. They could start this September, have it completed by before next summer. So, I mean, it's just a total, to me, as an outsider and someone who's been in there, a total lack of commitment to the horse tram system to bring it back to what it was.
Local football fans have been praised for turning out in force to support FC Isle of Man. More than 1,600 people watched the team beat Cheadle Town 5-2 at the Bowl on Saturday. Striker Sean Doyle said the Ravens are also hoping to inspire the younger generation.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Like, to have, obviously, first of all, to have my parents, my girlfriend, my close friends down supporting me, cheering me on. That's amazing in itself. But then obviously with the boys, all of us haven't played in front of this amount of fans before. And to have people who, you're hearing stories week after week now, people who had nothing to do with Manx football up until FC Isle of Man came down and a neighbour told them about it or their friend told them about it while they're doing the shop. And it just gets more and more. And then the numbers multiply. And at the minute, we're getting 1,600 plus week in, week out. It's fantastic. And it gives all the boys the extra 10, 15 minutes in the legs at the end of the game.
It's the age-old saying in football, you take it a game at a time. There's still a long way to go in the season yet, but in terms of the way you've started 2022 at the moment, if you can continue this, just how far do you think you guys can go?
Well, obviously, you put a cliche in there, so I'm going to put mine in. We've got to take a game at a time and not look too far ahead. Obviously, the ambition has to be trying to get into the second and third spot to get that home advantage in the playoffs. We're comfortable that we do think we are going to solidify a playoff spot at the minute, but the target has to be second or third because we want to play in front of our home friends in a big semi-final playoff game, hopefully in April, and the weather will be nicer, it'll be a good atmosphere and get even more fans down for the game.
And not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. The likes of yourselves as players, you've been going out to the likes of schools and football sessions around the island and really engaging with some of the youngsters as well. Just how much of a positive influence do you think FC Isle of Man as a club is having on Manx communities?
It's amazing. Like you speak to some of the parents of kids who are playing for the under 12s, under 10s, all different age groups, and the kids are constantly talking about it. They know our names. I have a few of the boys, like myself, have had a few Instagram messages off some kids after games congratulating us and talking all about how they can't wait to play for FC Isle of Man. So seeing things like that is amazing for the boys, and it gives that, once again, that added motivation to keep doing what we're doing and trying to be role models for the lads coming through and set an example for them, basically.
Homeowners are being urged to open up their homes to TT and Manx Grand Prix visitors this year. MHK Rob Collister has political responsibility for motorsport.
It's vital. I mean, we welcome it, just say, for the TT prior to COVID. We were welcoming almost 46,000 visitors. Without homestay, realistically, we can't put on the likes of the TT and the Manx Grand Prix. It is vital. And the same would go for campsites and other facilities that actually provide accommodation during TT.
And it's pretty easy for people to register for this facility.
It's very simple. I would encourage people to contact Macquarie's and actually speak to our provider and go through the process. It is a simple process. And you can actually also get tax relief as well, up to £1,800. So there's good benefits on both sides, and we are desperately looking for more people to come forward and to host during these key events.
Do you have a ballpark figure of the number that you would like to enlist?
Well, as I said, prior to 2019, we had around about 950 registered properties. So far, we've only got just short of 500. And I think a lot of that relates to the uncertainty with COVID, but we are starting to emerge from COVID-19. Restrictions are starting to be lifted. Now is the time to start preparing for our visitor economy, our visitor season, which will get underway in March. And as I said, TT, the Manx Grand Prix, are two of our most crucial events in our tourist calendar. Anyone who has normally provided accommodation to us and visitors during these events, I would encourage them to step forward again and to support us if they can.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones and producer Tessa Hawley. If you have a comment on the news agenda, a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. The stories you've heard on this programme and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts, and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. So, like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it from me. See you again tomorrow at 5:30.